Hi, Jason.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to The Couple That Scare Us Together.
Hey, guys, it's been a while.
It's been a long time, and we are very happy that we are reaching out and giving you guys an update on why maybe we haven't engaged, but and more importantly, why we are doing it tonight and how excited we are to do it.
Yeah, glad we're back.
Yeah. So,
simple as that.
So simply put, life got in the way, and we have a family, and we had things going on that we needed to take care of. And podcasting, we just had to put it on the back burner because it wasn't fun. We never found the time to sit down and have fun to do it. And if it's not fun to us, you guys aren't going to want to hear it. Right?
I would tend to agree with that.
So it wasn't fun for a while. And to be honest, we didn't know if it was ever going to be fun again, but we really missed the experience of just focusing on being together to share things that we love, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So far, where we left you, lots of things have happened. We had a wonderful summer. It was a summer of transition for both of us, a summer of new beginnings and changes. Right? But all, I think, are going to be positive in the end.
Sure.
That sounds really cryptic and secretive.
That sounds really Pollyanna, but let's go with it.
I'm going to pretend that everything is going to be fine.
Right.
That's the only way to do it because we are positive thinkers. And in fact, we've been focusing on, Jason and I, positive thinking and doing a lot of Abraham Hicks. We started talking about that on our last podcast that we were in.
Back in February.
Yep.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cold then and it's warm right now.
Yes. Thank you. That was always a great observation.
Groundhogs were just appearing at that moment. Wasn't that Phil in February?
I guess so. That's an odd Phil. It's
that's
an odd sort of reference.
That's what he does. He
you know, that's on February. One of my lists of places to go see.
Punxsutawney.
It's Punxsutawney during Groundhog Day. I know.
You also want to visit Salem
in October.
During Halloween.
Yes.
Punxsutawney.
Yes.
Pennsylvania.
Yes.
You also want to visit wherever those Nicholas Sparks books are, I guess North Carolina. You always
we were
there before.
Yeah.
Where else?
I don't have a list.
You want to visit Ireland?
Yes, that's a big one.
That.
Yeah, but I like the sillier ones, like Groundhog's Day in Punxsutawney. Like that,
sure.
That to me, that seems more appropriate and interesting than people are like, I would like to go to Paris. Of course I would, but I also...
What does Paris have on Punxsutawney?
Nothing.
Bill Murray.
That's right. But also, I think a fun list like that is cool to do. So maybe you have a list that you'd like to share with us,
and you can do that.
Send it to us.
Send it in.
We'll read our list.
Obscure places
right.
I'd love to visit, such as Punxsutawney.
That's right.
Such as, I mean, I wouldn't say
like the biggest
Salem's not obscure,
no.
But it's definitely it's unique.
You're right, because if you ask 10 people, maybe one person wants to do that.
I think that'd be we actually need to go there. This is why our show is great. And this is why we should, because like we enjoy it, or we did enjoy it,
yeah.
And then we didn't enjoy each other, so we took a break for a while,
right?
And now, hey, we're back again doing the show, and all is good.
All is good. Yeah. So, So send me your weird bucket list. I'd like to see them. Maybe I could add some things to mine.
Oh, let's.
I mean, I want to visit every asylum on the East Coast.
I'm trying to think of a place.
Like a strange one?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
What about that colony in Virginia?
Roanoke.
Yeah.
Well, it's gone now.
Like Roanoke.
And it's not a mystery because we know what happened. But, I mean, that could be a show.
Yeah.
To table that.
No, it could, but still.
I, myself, because we live near Gettysburg, and I think we've shared that with everybody before.
Awesome,
but I've never made it through the Jenny Wade House. So.
You have to get
there. I got to go. I got to make it through the Jenny Wade House. So that's got to be on my bucket list.
What about Dracula's Castle in Transylvania?
Oh, my. That's a big one.
I know, but
that's
like
a big
people
one.
Go they because I researched it during school with the students.
Yes,
and like they accept tour groups.
Oh yeah,
it's a big it's a big business. I think that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what was the castle that we did an episode on where the walls point in and it has the big pit? Castle Hussein? I can't remember. I don't know, anymore. But it's, yeah, oh gosh, we I have to go look it up.
Why don't you hit the,
I know.
Should ask before we
sorry.
Started recording.
Well, I'll think about my list completely, and I'll visualize
next
it.
Next week we'll have a list.
Yeah, next week we'll have a list.
Manifest it.
I'll manifest it because that's what I have been drawn to lately. So you're going to hear a lot more about
that
in
the future.
What
have you been doing lately?
Well,
please tell
it's
us.
Funny that you asked, Jason. You know, just kind of changing a lot, transitioning. I think the start of it was this podcast and expressing things that I found interesting. And right at the end of the pod, or at the end before we stopped, we shared my quest and your quest for search and rescue, and how that was sort of a passion that I didn't even know I had, and it really caught fire. And so at the time, we just had these two little puppies. We'd gotten a chocolate lab named Charlie and a bloodhound named Moose. And now they are big old dogs, and I am loving every minute of delving deep into search and rescue. And it's been a newfound group with newfound people that I like very much, and I am interested in and branching out and getting to know more people and training these dogs to do amazing things, and I see the value of it, and it really has become like a passion for me. So that's where I spent a lot of my time doing, taking care of our family, but also training these dogs and training myself to become skilled at finding people when they go missing. And it really had a lot to do with this podcast, because it had a lot to do with us reading about missing 411, talking about people that have terrible circumstances and terrible things happen to them and they go missing. And I thought, I can help. And I really, really love all aspects of it. So, yeah. So, and I don't think I have any people that I do search and rescue that listen to our podcast, but I maybe have one. But that would, but yeah, so they're kind of like separate worlds for me. But I love both of these worlds, so that's what I've been doing.
Okay.
But I'm excited to share all kinds of stuff with you. And a newfound sort of spirituality that's really guided in creating the world and the universe that I want. So I've been focusing on that.
All right.
All right. Okay. So tonight, that brings us to our topic. And so I had promised you way back in February that we would do a story and that I would present you a story.
That was a rough transition we just had there.
No, it was okay.
All right, okay.
That we would talk about what I think is the most famous alien abduction, and that is the story of Benny and Barney Hill.
Here we go.
And away we go. All right. So the reason that we chose to talk to you tonight, and Jason, the reason why I wanted to share with you tonight, the story of Benny Barney Hill, is that I was listening to Joe Rogan, and Robert Bigelow was on his podcast. And I had known about him a little bit because of his work with Skinwalker Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really lovely to see him interact as a real person, because he's sort of a figure that is clouded in mystery.
He's an enigma.
Yeah, Aaliyah. But it was I really liked how Joe just let him talk, and they kind of shared his stories, and you know, that's what inspired us to talk about alien abductions. And the story of Benny and Barney Hill is a famous one. It's a one that if you are into UFOs,
mm-hmm.
and with disclosure happening and all of these like trickles of things that are coming out of our government that nobody seems to care about, like no one cares.
Oh, I thought you were about to talk about a personal experience that you had that I was unaware of.
No, I don't have any personal experience to share tonight.
What, do you have something to
No, but to that's, tell me? The government is putting out things, and
yeah,
the TikTok videos,
yes.
and
yes.
General like Favor.
Little breadcrumbs here, breadcrumbs
They're
there.
Promising to release stuff, and no one seems to care, but we care. The people that...
Well, I mean, maybe it isn't even like UFOs per se, but like new technology, who knows? I mean, we'll...
Oh, yeah. Well,
we'll
I mean,
see what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be just unidentified.
Yeah.
Whatever. Technology, right? That we've already had in the past. Yeah. So, but tonight we're going to talk about their story. So, Do you remember? Because we kind of talked about...
Betty and Barney?
Yeah.
Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the story.
Okay. All right. So it began, the Hills decided they were going to take a road trip. Very spontaneously.
The best part of them is their name.
Benny and Barney Hill.
Yeah. It just rolls out the tongue like,
yeah.
Oh, it's the Hills, Benny and Barney.
You're they're coming over for Canasta.
Would you care for some spot of tea, Benny?
No, it's more like lemonade. The couple next door. They would have like Benny a mixed drink.
It's the Hills.
They would have like Shirley Temples.
Fine.
Okay.
Look at Shirley Temples. Got a new little dog. It's wonderful.
Canasta. Okay.
I'm not even sure what that is. Like, what is Canasta?
I don't know. It's a game like that people game, play. Like, couples. Like
down in Florida?
I don't know.
Like when you're past a certain age?
I guess I'm not going to, but
like
okay.
In the old folks home?
I don't. You've just alienated all the people that play Canasta that listen to this podcast.
That's all of like two people that play Canasta in the whole world. So they're probably right now
clicked off.
They're listening.
I doubt. Well, if they did, they clicked off.
Canasta.
Okay.
I'm going to Google it.
Google it. We'll teach me how to play it. So the Hills decided to take a road trip, a very earned break. Barney decided the couple needed. And I'm using a lot of information from a book called The Interrupted Journey. It was written in 1966. The Hills collaborated with author John G. Fuller. So Barney worked a grueling night shift at the post office. He was driving a whole lot. Betty was handling state child welfare cases and had a very sort of taxing job too. So by all accounts, credible people, right? Somebody who works for the post office, probably pretty vetted.
Yes.
Somebody who works in child welfare cases, also, you know, pretty vetted. So they decided that they were going to take a little break and they didn't have a lot of free time. It was also important to mention that they were a biracial couple. So why is that important? Because...
Why is that important, Nicole?
I don't know. You tell me. Why do you think that's important?
Because we're... it happened years ago, and maybe there was some theories out there that they were... That the situation may have been racially motivated.
Oh, so I had a different perspective. My thought was, this was a couple living a very sort of nice, simple life. By all accounts, they were interested in civil rights, but they weren't looking for attention. In fact, they've made not one dime. They didn't make one dime off of this story.
So
my thought is they
wouldn't
want to draw any more attention to themselves.
Fair enough.
That's what I would think, but that's just my thought.
By the way,
what?
Canasta is a card game.
Okay.
That is in the Rummy family.
Okay.
It was
like Gin Rummy
developed in Buenos Aires and in Uruguay in the 1940s and became popular in the U.S. and Britain in the 50s on.
Thank you.
So there you go.
Okay.
The word canasta is Spanish for basket. So there you have it, people.
I actually don't know anymore.
Now you're in the
know. Now that I've heard that.
Now you know. It's a popular card game.
Fine.
Yeah.
So the couple decided to take this whole trip. They were very devoted to their church. They did participate in civil rights activities and the movement, but they were not somebody that was seeking fortune and fame, is my my perspective.
Understood.
All right. So after 16 months of marriage, Betty and Barney saw this trip through Montreal and Niagara Falls as their delayed honeymoon.
They left
so impulsively, they had no time to go to the bank before it closed for the weekend. This is what we would do. We would do this. They got in the car with less than $70 in their pockets.
That's all we have is $70.
On the last night of their three-day trip, the tired couple sipped coffee in a Vermont diner to recharge before driving back. Barney figured if they pushed through, they could beat the wind and the rains from approaching hurricane. They left the diner around 10 p.m., estimating they could reach the red-rimmed house in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. at the latest. As they drove, strange lights in the sky gave another reason to hurry. At first, it looked like a falling star, but grew larger and brighter with each mile. Barney, an avid plane watcher and a World War II vet, was sure they had nothing to worry about. It was just a satellite, he assured Betty. It probably went off course. The light seemed to move with the car as Barney steered down the curving mountain road. The light zigged and zagged, ducking past the moon and between the trees and the mountain ridges, only to reappear moments later. Sometimes it seemed to move towards them in a game of cat and mouse. It had to be an illusion, they thought. Maybe the car's movement made it seem like the light, too, was moving. Curiosity overcame them. The couple pulled over at a road stop and picnic turnouts to get a closer look. Through binoculars, Betty saw that the white light was really an object spinning in the air. Barney, she told her husband, if you think that's a satellite or a star, you are being completely ridiculous.
That's probably how she said it, too.
She was probably like, that, what?
Wait, no.
You're ridiculous.
That calmly. Barney, if you think that's a shooting star,
I know.
You're ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And she knew he was right. Barney had an IQ of 140.
So he was
a smart man.
Smart dude.
Barney was also
Postal Service must have loved my man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he probably was happy to have a job after World War II that was, like,
right.
not like, dying.
Oh, this is so mundane compared to
yeah.
dodging bullets.
Right. Well, he's a very pragmatic man who wouldn't give a flying saucer a second thought. There's also a great book by Kathleen Marden called Captured, the Benny and Barney Hill Experience. If you want to read more in depth about that, I pulled a lot of information from her book as well. Okay. The night was too quiet for a helicopter, a commercial plane, or even a military jet with a hot shot pilot. He didn't want to spook Betty, but he knew he was becoming concerned. What was this light, and why was it toying with them? About 70 miles past the diner, the object hovered just above the treetops, approximately 100 feet above them. Barney abruptly stopped the car, keeping the engine running. He shoved a handgun he'd hidden beneath the seat into his pocket and rushed into the dark field, leaving Betty in the car. This is always when things go bad.
Right.
Don't do this.
Leave your wife.
Leave her in the car and just go into the dark. When he saw what he saw was as big as a jet, but round and flat as a pancake. My God, what is this thing? He recalled thinking. This can't be real. Behind rows of windows, gray, uniformed beings seemed to look right at him, Barney recalled. He tried to lift his hand to his pistol, but somehow couldn't. A voice told him not to put down his binoculars. He had a startling thought. We're about to be captured. Yelling hysterically, he ran back to the car and barreled down the road as Betty tracked the unknown craft, craning her head outside the car window. Without explanation, loud rhythmic beeps sounded from the car's trunk. The couple felt instantly drowsy and lost consciousness.
Oh, no.
They came to around 2 hours later, 35 miles down the road. Back home in Portsmouth, they tried to make sense of the night. Barney felt compelled to examine his body, his lower half.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm. Those seemed aware of a puzzling presence. In the months and weeks after, Betty, an avid reader, checked out books from the library discovering the Civilian UFO Group, the National Investigations Committees on Aerial Phenomena, NICAP. She also reported the sighting to the Air Force, worried about radiation. So they reported this immediately.
Mm-hmm.
In the coming years, with Betty suffering from disturbing dreams and Barney developing an ulcer and anxiety, the couple sought medical help. The two met with Benjamin Simon, who was a psychiatrist and a neurologist who specialized in hypnosis, which at the time was a pretty mainstream technique. Though now people have said that perhaps this is where you can talk about false memories and how you can implant things during hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what skeptics would say.
Okay.
But it's important to say they sought this out because they were experiencing problems. So they had remembered up to that point where they lost consciousness, but they also were not well. So they were seeking out help. So it's not like...
No, I got you.
Yeah.
Like the two of them... especially Benny, I guess, felt as if they needed to get some help.
Needed some help. Through months of weekly sessions, Simon helped the couple piece together what they think had happened. A vessel had landed on the hill's cars, putting them to sleep. Car. Afterward, gray beings walked them up a long ramp and onto a spacecraft.
Oh, God, that's so creepy.
Once inside, the hills were separated, taking turns in an examination room that had curved walls and a large light hanging from the ceiling. Each was asked to climb.
That's what everybody talks about, like the curved walls.
Yeah.
Like in the Travis.
Yeah, Travis Walton.
Walton talked about the curved walls, like in Arizona.
Yeah. Each was asked to climb onto a metal table. The table was so short that Barney's legs hung over the side. During the examinations, the beings removed Betty and Barney's clothes, plucked strands of their hair, took clippings of their nails, and scraped their skin.
Oh, God.
Each sample was placed on a clear material, not unlike a glass slide. Needles connected to long wires probed their heads, arms, and spines.
Can you imagine, like, these little gray, like, oh, it gets dudes worse. Just, like touching you with their little gray fingers? No. Like, little, like, trying to take blood samples and stuff? Like,
one large needle, around 4 to 6 inches, was inserted into Betty's belly. Oh. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that is?
It's
an amniocentesis.
Yeah.
That is a gnarly needle. I know, because I've had one.
Okay, well, it wasn't... Let's not compare your experience to hers. She was abducted.
Okay, well, she was out, so I wasn't. So I win. No, but I'm saying, that's gnarly, and that was new technology.
Betty woke up with his pants off, not sure what happened.
He's investigating his lower half.
Exactly. Let's put it in perspective here.
The pregnancy test, she thought it was a pregnancy test, left her in twisting pain.
Ugh.
Uh-huh, I win. Throughout, Benny and Barney called the leader... who watched from the side.
Speaking of twisting pain.
Yeah.
We didn't tell the audience about my recent hernia surgery.
Oh, my
surgery.
God. This. Also, Jason had hernia surgery, which was akin to an amputee. I'm not really sure. But he required days of constant care.
I required one
constant
day.
Constant care. And he still is now talking about what he considers phantom pain. We're pretty sure he has a sponge in him, and he's manifesting some sort of giant issue.
Fine, I accept.
Mm-hmm. Also,
but
he was supposed to recover.
It was one day.
And he was down for a few days. And
I was
and
not.
By the way, they were joyous.
You're not telling them the truth.
No.
I was down for one day.
Okay, sir. Not accurate.
How many days was it?
It was a few. But then immediately you began to exercise. Because his surgeon... said, if you can stand the pain, go ahead. But everybody else in the world, including our primary care doctor, who's our friend, said, maybe take it easy. So I think that the only person you have to blame in this situation is you.
I feel fine. I mean, I feel very good. I feel tip top.
Or the other possibility is you were abducted, probed, to see what was going on with that hernia.
Imagine.
And that's what maybe you should
do
some hypnosis.
They're like, oh my God, we don't want this guy. Let's send him back.
No. He's got mesh in him.
I'm fine now. Ugh. I feel good. Strong like bull.
Okay. All right. So after Betty's examination ended, the beings rushed back into her room, excited. They discovered that Barney's teeth could be removed.
Oh, no.
Betty laughed, explaining that Barney had dentures.
Oh.
A fact of human aging that beings struggled to understand.
Thank God. I thought they'd just
pull them all out.
Pull his teeth out.
Later, alone with the leader, Betty asked where the craft had flown, admitting she knew little of the universe. The being joked with her, saying, if you don't know where you are, there wouldn't be any point in telling you where I am. Later, under hypnosis, she drew a star map shown to her on the ship. In 1965, the Hill's story was picked up by a Boston paper. After that, everything changed. The Quiet Couple story became the subject of a best-selling book and a movie starring James Earl Jones. The upstanding civil servants had become celebrity abductees. The Hills weren't the first to spot a UFO or even to report an abduction, but their story did capture the nation's imagination and was so widely published, it was helped to shape how we talk about alien encounters and abductions to this day.
James Earl Jones has a hell of a voice.
Yes, he does. Before the Hills story, alien encounters were friendly, according to Christopher Bader, a professor of sociology at California's Chapman University.
Why don't you ask Benny how friendly these people were?
Some aliens even lived on Earth and communicated back on weekends. It was sort of lighthearted and fun. But once the Hills story became better known, abductions accounts shared certain characteristics, such as medical examinations, missing time, aliens with large heads and big eyes, dubbed the Greys in UFO circles. They became sort of these classic staples in personal accounts and pop culture. So you asked, well, wait a minute, everybody talks about the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
This is where it started.
Yeah, so... Right here.
Yes.
New Hampshire.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind and shows like The X-Files pulled from
all
this,
of it,
right?
Based on Benny and Barney.
Yes. The Hill story and those that came after helped pave the way for a new understanding of human experience. So, yeah, what you think of as classic alien structures and what we call the grays now, they were this story. And the medical examinations in particular became with Benny and Barney Hill.
Benny's pants were off.
Yes. Yes, he's investigating his lower half, is what they say.
That poor guy must have been like, this can't be. Please, God.
So let's talk a little bit about what some theories are.
But first, for those of you guys who are longtime listeners who have followed our journey.
Yeah.
It is ironic that
tonight
we're back. Well, I mean, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe it's just kind of, you know, part of the whole thing. But yeah. In the background here, if you can hear some cracks, because there are, once again, fireworks going on.
It's August. Recording. It's raining. There's no reason for fireworks. Yet every time we podcast, fireworks happen in our community. We don't know why. July, that makes sense because of the 4th of July. But we will have them no matter what, year round. But it only seems to really ramp up when we are podcasting. I'm going to take it as a sign from the universe. That's what I'm going to do.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. So let's go back to that star map, right? So Betty draws the star map, doesn't know anything about, never studied the cosmos. She's not, wasn't into that sort of thing. She draws this map under hypnosis. Turns out to be pretty accurate, but more importantly, she puts on there certain constellations and things that we didn't even know about at the time, but we do now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So those are something that you say, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
However, you have to take into account that they were under hypnosis and that it's possible that they could have been manipulated in some sort of way. And false memories with these fanciful experiences that never maybe happened.
Fanciful, I like that word.
Fanciful.
That's good job. That's descriptive.
Yeah.
Descriptive adjective.
You can't exactly rule that out. You just can't.
Well, wait a sec. So you're talking about that these memories
were implanted,
were infused by somebody else, or something else.
Well, I read both books, and then I read a few other things to prepare for tonight. And I will say, I am 100% convinced that Benny and Barney Hill believe this happened to them. I also know it's absolutely possible if somebody knew what they were doing that they could have manipulated this. Mm-hmm. Right? Remember we talked about sleep paralysis, hallucinations, and how they can play a role.
I've never heard this idea. Like,
right.
This
false memories.
Theory before.
Yeah. Leading questions during hypnosis is the main way that abductees unlock their stories, but also could have been a factor in how maybe they're not accurate.
Wait a sec. Are you saying that these memories were implanted by, you know,
it's possible
those who have abducted them, or by someone else here on Earth?
I would say by the psychiatrist that was doing the hypnosis, Simon. He was very keen on documenting these experiences.
Gotcha.
So he would have been, if he put him under hypnosis and they said nothing had happened, they'd fallen asleep in the car for four hours, he certainly would be disappointed with that.
Well, yes, he would.
And it's also important to remember, those who report abductions might also see the world a little differently. According to a study, one of the strongest predictors of false recall is a vivid imagination. These groups score high, people that report abductions, high in magical ideation, and are more likely to believe in ghosts, tarot readings, according to a study.
Okay.
But
in saying that, Benny Hill does not seem like that kind of person.
He seems very pragmatic.
He seems very straight-laced. He's a veteran. I've never met the guy, but I'm just saying.
Sure.
He seems like a no-nonsense guy.
Right.
He works for the Postal Service.
Right.
Like, he is, you know, he's a pretty sharp dude.
Right. High IQ.
Yeah, he has a high IQ.
Right.
Like, he kind of sounds like a person who's got his life together.
Right. I get you. Some believe that the Hill story was simply a myth in the making, with the supernatural meanings vulnerable, with these, like, vulnerable, what's the word am I thinking of? Protagonists, and otherworldly journey that often hallmarks like a legend. Many point to the stress of being an interracial couple living in a predominantly white state.
Not to mention New Hampshire.
Yeah.
But he's also a veteran too. World War II
veterans. So yes, absolutely. Like PTSD
kind of thing.
This was also the year of their hypnosis. 1964 mm-hmm. was marked by Cold War tensions and civil rights unrest. So lots of things were happening that summer. So you have a biracial couple at the time who were obviously, it wasn't easy to be one, right?
Sure.
Look what those aliens were, a mixture of black and white, gray, right? That might have meaning.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
No, I got it, but that's not that. There again, we're not saying that their story is fabricated.
We are not.
We're not saying that at all.
But abductee stories depend on firsthand accounts, which are undoubtedly the most vulnerable form of evidence. Memories can be distorted by stress or distraction,
sure.
or even manufactured.
Sure.
Yep.
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, Benny's pants are off, and he's being examined.
And he's being examined. Yep, absolutely.
That's pretty stressful.
I would say so. Yeah, so all possibilities, all things that it could have been. And then there's one other thing that I wanted to talk to you about when it comes to this. And when there's this phenomenon that psychologists have determined, and it's called patternicity. It's where humans have a tendency to see patterns even when none exist, helping us to see faces in cloud or assume that one event has caused another. This is what I think explains a lot of people that take photographs and say, look, there's a Bigfoot there.
Yeah,
and ghost. You look at them and say, maybe it's a cluster of leaves or a ghost. It's because maybe our brains are wired
to make patterns. I'm telling you that this happened to me last week in West Virginia.
It happened to you?
Well, no, yeah, because I was constantly, because there's bears in the area.
And so you saw bears everywhere?
And I'm afraid of bears.
Oh my gosh, it's unrational.
And I'm outside in the yard uh-huh. walking the dog.
Uh-huh.
And I turn the corner, turning the corner at the side of the house, and I'm heading toward the backyard.
Okay.
And I'm
looking
off toward the woods, and I see a big black object. And at that moment, my first reaction was like, I just felt like chills and just like immediate fear.
Right. It
like
was a stump.
Pulsating through my body because in my mind, that's a bear.
Right.
In the woods.
Right.
Here I am holding our dog Moose on his leash. I'm like, he's not going to protect me.
No.
I also have to protect him.
You also turn around and put Moose in the house. And then you said, Nicole, I think there's a bear out there. Go
right.
look.
But then
I want everyone to know that that's what you said.
No, I said, look.
You said, come here. Okay,
maybe.
Maybe.
Whatever.
Stand afar.
Okay. So, and then upon second look, it was just a very large tree stump and
it was fine.
Clump of trees. So
yeah, that
it was
not
an
exciting vacation we had. First of all, it was wonderful because we go to Canaan Valley in West Virginia, and it's a place that we love and we charge. But this year we took both dogs with us. And our kids, and my sister's friend, Linda, who we love dearly. And
Shout out, Linda.
It was an amazing time. It really was.
That's great.
So our dogs are always used to being on a leash. Charlie works off leash, though, my Labrador, when he's working. He's an air scent dog, so he doesn't use a lead. So he's very obedient. I don't really worry about him. So we were in the woods, staying in the woods. So he was off lead because, again, he has great recall and I can trust him to stay near me. Moose is a bloodhound and his nose will get him in trouble and he will never be off lead. I can't imagine a day. So we keep him on a lead. So we had him tied on a lead when we were there and outside with him, a long lead. So he had a lot of freedom. And then we just walked him on a leash when we were taking him out. But we never left him alone outside. In the evening one night, we had the dogs in the house. My sister had her dogs there too. At one point, Jason says, "Where is Moose?" And I said, "I guess his kennel." He was not in his kennel. We assumed, because we saw our baby opening the sliding glass door,
that he
had let Moose out. And it went to a, I would only be described as a panic. If Jason was on a scale of 1 to 10, and 10 was at your absolute most panicked, he was a good 9. Like, he was ready to set the words on fire. I'm not sure. So, I immediately went into, like, okay, I'm a search and rescue. I'm going to find this dog. No. Charlie and I are going to find this dog.
If there's anybody who knows me, like, if you know me personally, you know that, like, I just value
this is his Achilles heel, is dogs.
I love them. Yes. And I don't want to, like, I miss our old dog Scout to this day. And I wish that, you know, we still had her, but, you know, we don't.
Long story short.
Anyway,
We searched. It was dark outside. I got lights. We were fine. Charlie is looking at me and running around the house, looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about, lady, and keeps barking at the door to go back in the house. I'm like, well, you're a heck of a search and rescue dog. Right. You won't even go find Moose. And lo and behold, I asked our daughter, go sweep the house again. And she found Moose in the bathroom. I don't know how he got in the bathroom. I don't know. He must have walked in and accidentally closed the door on himself.
Right.
But he was inside the house the whole time. Charlie was correct. He was alerting to me where he's Moose was. Like,
hey, he's right here.
Our panic was for nothing. All was well.
Well, my panic.
Your panic.
Yes, I was panicked.
Okay. So that was our experience. Maybe he was abducted and put in the bathroom. I don't know.
Like Penny.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know what happened to him.
Penny and Barney.
That's right. So you mentioned that Barney had some experience in war.
Yes.
And so maybe some of his past experiences also shaped
PTSD,
his perspective.
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
In fact, Barney said that he thought the gray that worked on him looked like Hitler and seemed menacing.
Did he have a mustache?
No. Betty, meanwhile, who had been excited to see the aliens, bantered with the gray who performed medical examination.
First of all, that's not because we all know that Mr. Hitler was, at this point, he was already in Argentina.
Did you say Mr. Hitler?
Well, or, you know. Yeah. I mean,
the gentleman known as Hitler.
Adolf Hitler was in Argentina
just like Hitler.
At this time.
Okay.
Okay.
That's another episode we
Hitler
have to do.
Hitler was in Argentina.
What happened to the Nazis?
Sipping on a margarita, you know, or whatever the hell he drinks.
I don't know. Okay. Who knows? Maybe. We don't know.
I'm telling you, that's where he went.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Argentina. He escaped.
So Betty says that the alien even agreed to give her a book to bring to Earth with her. She said, but then the other crew members, the other Greys, overruled that decision.
What kind of woman?
I don't know.
Must Betty have been? She must have just been like just wonderful.
Well,
like,
I think she was probably
talker.
Under the influence of that.
No, but I'm saying, like, she seems very, very personable. I mean, my impressions, I don't know her, but just from the story, like, I mean, she's engaging. Like, she's holding court with the Greys. She's entertaining them.
Okay.
Like, they're discussing books while they're examining her.
Yeah, she had a great time, I guess.
Yeah, like, I mean, they're probably like, hey, have a drink. Meanwhile, poor Betty's getting his pants.
Do you remember the needle they inserted into her body and she was
yes,
twisting in pain?
But she's okay, but it sounds like she had a decent time.
Oh my, I swear to you, that sounds so akin to just dangerous territory.
No, she sounds like she enjoyed her time
with the abductors.
Yeah, with
that's
the
nice.
Grays.
That's real nice. Maybe she just was thinking about survival. Who knows?
Maybe.
So NICAP's scientific advisors, which is sort of an oxymoron, I think, sometimes, cross-examined the couple and found their account to be credible. The Air Force Project's Blue Book would ultimately dismiss the story, determining the unexplained craft could be identified as natural causes. Hinting that the couple
anytime soon now be
I don't
know.
I know. Hinting that the couple hadn't seen a spacecraft, but only the planet Jupiter. Not entirely sure how that works.
Okay.
For his part, the psychiatrist Simon never felt the Hills had made up their story. Of course not. He concluded Betty had dreamed the abduction and Barney had absorbed her story. Mm-hmm. Especially since many of the most vivid details matched descriptions from dreams Betty had jotted down after the event.
His conclusion is what?
That it was her story that she dreamed the abduction and then Barney had absorbed her story.
It
I don't know how that
because
works.
Because they had a prior conversation
I don't
or
really
because
know.
They're like they're in bed next to each other.
I don't know. Well, she had jotted down things from her dreams. So maybe he thought he came across like, it.
Maybe he just kind of. Oh,
but he did say, let me read that.
Take a little gander at that.
I know somebody who ganders. But he did say, I believe implicity in the honesty of these people on a 70s radio program.
Let me ask you a question. Okay. To, well, not you. Listener. Well, you and the listeners.
Okay.
So if you have a journal or something that you're writing in and you're leaving it, you know, say in the bathroom and it's open and you're going in there to brush your teeth and you just glance down to see this journal that's uh-huh. open.
Uh-huh.
If you take a peek at it, is that really snooping?
Okay. Well, I'll ask you a question and I'd like you to answer honestly and I'll give you my opinion. Do you flip a page? Yep, that's snooping.
That's how I did.
That's snooping.
Because it was sitting there.
So what he is mentioning, folks, is that I had, and it's not even a journal. It's where, it is a journal. But
what would you call it?
It's really like my book of shadows is what they call it.
Okay.
But I write down lucid dreaming. I write down my intentions. I write down things like that. It's not anything scary. Don't get it. But it's also personal, yet you're not going to be, it's not
it's
like
so
Dear Diary.
Hold on a second. It's so personal that you left.
It's not.
This is why we went away for months. It's so personal mm-hmm. that you left it sitting open on
right.
the bathroom sink.
Well, it's, first of all, it's in my bathroom.
It's our bathroom, people. It's just, I don't know
okay.
what she's even saying.
It's my master bathroom.
This is why we were away for like,
it's my bathroom. Break. And yes, it's personal, but I think, didn't I say to you when you found it, I'll tell you what you said to me, but when I found it, I said, you feel free to look through it. It wasn't a secret. The secret was the problem was that you came at me like a hurricane and said, what is this? And explain yourself.
That's
and I said,
that was not my tone.
It was exactly your tone. It was accusatory. It was judgmental. And it was almost like you caught me. And I said, flip through it, sir. Good sir, and you can see
what
it is.
That's not what she said at all.
But it is is personal.
You didn't call me good sir.
Good sir. No, I didn't. I probably called you other names, but that I meant in my head.
Right.
As I rewrite the story, it's good sir.
Right.
But yes, that's called snooping, sir. Yes.
Fine, I whatever.
Except,
fine,
don't
I
snoop.
I accept.
If you had just said, I noticed your book on the sink.
Yeah, I took
would
a
you
look
tell
at
me
it.
About
I,
that?
I think it's
no,
interesting.
No, no, no. Not I took a look
okay.
at it.
Let me say, here's what,
let's,
okay,
let's rephrase
here's what
it.
I should have said.
Yes.
Hey, I noticed that your journal's on the sink, and I took a look, and I think it's, you know, kind of interesting.
Great, let me edit that.
Can you tell me what it's all mm-hmm. about?
Sure, that would have been less offensive. What would be best is if you had said, hey, I was in the bathroom and noticed your journal on the sink. I'd love to for you to share that with me if you'd like to do so. And I would have said, thank you, absolutely.
That sounds exactly how we communicate.
That is
like
exactly
that.
How we communicate.
That's not
uh-huh, you know. Yeah. But you can't snoop through it and then walk into a room with fury and attitude and demand that I reveal why I'm keeping a journal of which there wasn't a secret in the first place.
I was only in bed post-surgery for one day. You're
when this
giving
happened?
People the impression. No, after my surgery.
What does that have to do with my book?
Just everything.
Oh my gosh, he's going people, back to this.
You're giving people the impression that I was like.
You were down for 3 days.
I was not.
Well, I'm going to go back to my journal and I'm just kidding. I didn't write it down. I was going to say, Dear Diary, it's day 3. No.
I started like walking the dogs and stuff.
Oh,
like, and then
you couldn't. No, you didn't. You didn't walk the dogs for 2 weeks. You walked yourself around the neighborhood.
Okay, I walked myself.
And awful. You were awful. And you were really not nice. And you were walking yourself around the neighborhood and the kids didn't understand what was happening. And I said, Daddy's having a bit of a mental breakdown.
That's not true.
It is.
But I wasn't.
The problem is Jason uses exercise as a
As
medicinal purpose, as a stress reliever, as a way of coping.
There's a lot worse things to do.
No, it's very, very, it's very appropriate and healthy. But when he couldn't do it, he was literally climbing our walls. It was bad. So the good news is we think he's all healed.
I'm fine now.
And
good.
As long as the man can run until his body allows him to do it into his old age, then everyone will be okay.
I feel fine. I feel great.
You feel
strong like bull.
Strong
like
bull.
I said, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
No, it's Google One.
So that's the story of Benny and Barty Hill. And you, it's a nice sort of basis of where we're going and what's happening next. And I, we'll be back next week. We don't have any side stories this week because this was sort of an impromptu taping of our podcast. But we are going to make some lists of things that we want to discuss and some topics that we're really excited about as we launch into this Halloween season, because autumn is my favorite time of year and I'm very excited to talk about all things spooky, right?
That's going
to
be a hoot.
It's going to be good. So thanks for, if you tuned back in or if you've just found us, either way, welcome. We're really excited to have you guys with us. We've missed our fans. I've gotten so many messages saying, when are you guys going, coming back? What happened? We miss hearing from you. So we're back. And if you want us to cover a particular topic that we haven't covered, you absolutely may do that. You can always email me at thecouplethatscaresTogether@outlook.com. You can visit our website at thecouplethatscaresTogether.com. You can follow us on our social media platforms. We're in Instagram under The Couple That Scares Together. And so blessings. And I hope you guys have a great week. We'll see you next week.
See you guys.